ShareCare, helping you find experts, the top minds in health and medicine. It's ShareCare Radio with Dr. Daria Long Gillespie on RadioMD.com.
Hi, it's Dr. Daria, and it's St. Patrick's Day, so I know that a lot of people were celebrating this past weekend, but that many of you have been saving your celebrations until today, and that tonight will probably be a big night. I've seen them with the after effects coming into the ER. So I'm excited to bring Dr. Keith Roach, ShareCare's Chief Medical Officer and an Associate Professor of Clinical Medicine at Cornell, to the show to discuss this topic on the true health benefits and dangers of alcohol. Dr. Keith Roach, thank you for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
So first I want to jump in. There's into the first question of red wine and its impact on the heart. We hear a lot of news about that. Tell us, what is the true health impact of it?
Ooh, well, the short answer is, with as much information and as many studies that have been done that are out there, we can't be 100% sure. We do know that people who drink moderate amounts of red wine tend to have lower rates of heart disease and lower overall risk of mortality. We don't know that the red wine is what's actually doing the job at preventing these bad things from happening. We know that moderate drinkers tend to have lots of other healthy behaviors, and it's difficult to be 100% sure that it's the red wine that's doing it. The usual way that we make sure about such things is by doing a controlled trial. We give half the people let's say red wine, half the people something that looks and tastes like red wine but isn't red wine. Unfortunately, there isn't anything that looks and tastes like red wine and isn't red wine, and so we haven't been able to do the study. That being said,
it would be tough to get anyone who likes wine to be fooled by that.
Exactly. I think most of us can tell pretty carefully.
Tell me, you say moderate amount. What is a moderate amount?
That depends on who you are, but the minimum risk that is associated with wine drinking, and to a lesser extent with all kinds of alcohol drinking, is about a half to one drink a day for a woman and about one to two drinks per day for a man. Once you exceed those levels, then whatever benefit there might have been from having that much alcohol starts reversing itself, and you start increasing your risk of overall mortality.
Now, you mentioned, you know, red wine, and then you sort of touched on all alcohol. Is it all alcohol, or is it really red wine?
It is really all alcohol. Red wine is thought to have additional benefits that might or might not be from some of the compounds in the grape skin, which is used in the production of red wine, particularly resveratrol, but it may be a combination of compounds that are in there. That being said, most of the epidemiologic data suggests that it's any kind of alcohol that is associated with a lowered mortality risk. But as I said, that's only in a fairly narrow range of alcohol consumption.
That's a very important point. So going out and having four Guinnesses for St. Patrick's Day will not necessarily improve your risk of heart disease.
In point of fact, once you hit four drinks per day for a woman or five for a man, you're now officially binge drinking. And although St. Patrick's Day is almost a national day of binge drinking, I would urge people not to do so. One,
because binge drinking has its own health risks as well, right?
Absolutely. Binge drinking is worse for you than just about anything. Regular drinkers, even if they're drinking to moderate levels of excess, develop some degree of protection against the alcohol that they're drinking. But if you are six per night on Friday and Saturday night and nothing for the rest of the week, your risk of developing liver disease, pancreatic disease, and other conditions, especially dying of an accidental death, gets really, really high. So binge drinking is the worst thing that you can do.
Does it affect your risk of stroke or cholesterol as well?
So stroke, absolutely. But cholesterol, surprisingly, doesn't get badly affected by alcohol unless you're at very high levels of alcohol where you're starting to do damage to your liver.
Okay, good to know. And you also mentioned there's a different amount of moderate drinking definition for women versus men. Why is that? Tell our listeners about how alcohol affects men and women's body differently.
So there's three big reasons. The first is that, on average, men are a little bit bigger than women. Secondly, even adjusting for body size, men's livers tend to be a little bit bigger than women's livers. And thirdly, men's livers tend to be better able to produce alcohol dehydrogenase, which is the main way that we have of detoxifying alcohol in the body. And I know you're shocked that I've used the term toxin, because that's the word I tend to avoid.
Yes, but in this case, I think it's safe, it's legitimate. I'll let it slide this time.
Thank you, Daria.
Thank you very much. A lot of our, you know, I know a lot of people say they have to have that glass of wine to help them sleep at night. Talk to us about the impact of that alcohol right before sleep on your sleep quality.
So you can't ever make too many generalizations without getting into real trouble. Some people may indeed have benefit from a glass of wine before bed, but more people are going to have problems from having a drink before bedtime. It doesn't help everybody for sure, and a lot of people get kept awake at nighttime. More importantly, it can prevent your body from going into the deep restorative types of sleep and the dream sleep that we need to feel refreshed on waking up the next morning. I think a lot of us have had the experience of having one too many the night before and waking up the next morning not feeling entirely well. Part of that is because of the overall effects on alcohol in many parts of the body, but part of it is that the sleep quality goes down after a night of excess drinking.
So it may make you feel a little bit sleepier, but your sleep quality is not going to be as great in general. So not so great for sleep. Talk to me about, you know, we also hear alcohol kills brain cells. Tell us, Dr. Keith, does it? You know, can alcohol make you slower in the long run? I bet this is, again, there's not a generalization here, but gradations, correct?
So alcohol can certainly affect the brain in a number of different ways, but it's not through cell death. We all lose some number of brain cells per day as we get older, sad to say. But then again, we're starting with a whole lot. And so the amount...
You definitely have a whole lot, Keith. You have a few you can lose.
You're so kind. I'm glad to say that we can lose a few, because there are some days that I feel like I've lost more than others. but it's not effect on brain cells that causes the chronic mental problems that come from too much alcohol use. And fortunately, the brain has a large capacity to improve. So if you stop drinking, then a lot of time, much of the function will come back.
Okay, good to know. You can get that brain function back. I think I personally feel like I need every single brain cell right now, especially after having a little munchkin. So one other impact of alcohol is that it's so high calorie. So do you have any suggestions for, you know, maybe some lower calorie alcohol swaps people could use on a night out?
Well, when I go out, sometimes I'm out with friends who drink a lot more than I do, and so I'll switch off. I'll have a glass of wine, or tonight I'll probably have a glass of Guinness, and then when it's time for other people to get a second round, then I'll switch over to some unsweetened iced tea, or even some coffee, or a glass of fizzy water with a lemon in it. That way, I feel like I'm celebrating along with people, but I'm not having too much alcohol, and I'm not putting in too many calories.
That's a really good idea, because I do that as well, and I think that it's good because it not only reduces your calorie intake, it reduces your total alcohol intake. So I try to alternate in between every alcoholic beverage, and, you know, it is to have something non-alcoholic. If it's water, maybe you're right. Something sparkly still looks like you're being festive. Nobody notices necessarily that you're not drinking something alcoholic. And then you can have, it keeps you hydrated, and then you can switch to your next alcoholic drink and minimize what you're taking. It's really great. Thank you so much for joining us, Keith. I know that people will take a lot of information with them. I hope people take this into account tonight when they're celebrating St. Patrick's Day. Do it. Have a great time, but do it safely. Again, thank you so much, Dr. Keith Roach, for joining us, and we look forward to having you back on the show. This is Dr. Daria, and you're listening to Share Care Radio on Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and stay well. Ooh, 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 ooh.